Leslie Caron, Stacey Keach, and Elizabeth McGovern in The Plutocrat, based on the novel by Booth Tarkington, adapted for radio by Michael Hastings. The Plutocrat, Part 1, Outward Bound.
The John Golden Theater, New York, 1926.
Finally, Alice, we shed the past. There is no going back.
Oh, Henry!
We race into the future with the bounty of our past.
Whatever our shortcomings.
We have staked our cause together. If our two primal impulses are sex and greed, so be it. I am in love with you. I am in love with the intoxicating sex of you. My ex-wife can go hang.
And I, for my part, I am bewitched by the greed you have for the commercial life. The ends to which you will go to succeed. So what if my father disowns me?
It is our amoral fate.
Oh, Henry.
Oh, Alice.
Forever.
The Pastoral Scene was my first play on Broadway the winter of 1926. Maybe it didn't have the depth of O'Neill, but it had gained favor with critics. They found a kind of new realism in the way my vile characters run roughshod. This is a young playwright who knows everything about sex, love, and greed, the critics shouted. As these are things I know absolutely nothing about, I hardly recognize myself. So, I've decided to seek out some of these characters I write so well about but have never met. I've taken a 12-day voyage on the liner SS Dumvir. We sail from New York to Algiers. It is a cold January, 1926. I have never left America before. Two days out at sea, and the good old boys in the smoking room drink themselves stiff and quarrel over cards. Yes, you've guessed it. The cigars and the tall stories about the woman who didn't get away. Financiers and stockholders braying their hootenanny best. The leader, the clumsiest and loudest, was Mr. Earl Tinker from the Midwest. And it was my privilege to share a table with him and his dreadful family for the rest of the voyage. Then I met someone of my own generation, George Macklin, the young poet who had developed something of a reputation.
Yes, I'm a poet.
I'm a playwright.
We might have something in common.
There was one other on board. A tall, exquisite woman whom I hardly dared look at.
Good evening. I'm Aurélie Saint-Denis de Montmoreau, and this is my son, Hyacinthe, who is returning.
She walked with a kind of floating grace and kept very much to herself. The good old boys invent tales about this mysterious creature.
T.H. Smith, ma'am, president of the GLW.
Ah, good evening. I'm Aurélie Saint-Denis de Montmoreau.
I think about her. You can't help it. She's so magnetic, yet unapproachable.
Madame de Montmoreau, Earl Tinker's my name, chairman and senior godperson of the Illinois Union Paper and Wrapping Company.
Good evening.
Sometimes I wait for her on the upper deck, and I move to stand where her shadow falls. I breathe in the musky French perfume she wears. She doesn't know I'm there.
I see that French woman with a French accent and that silly-looking French son of hers. Now, what do you suppose she is? Raise you there.
Too damn nosy in here to be a whore.
She dresses too damn foreign for Fifth Avenue.
I'm out. I'm told she married some plantation colonel down south. When he died, she was left cotton rich.
Not too rich for me. I'm out, too.
She don't act rich. She don't spend a dime, but a penny will do. Call.
I'll double the pot, boys.
She couldn't be a fortune hunting madame with all those airs and graces she got. You notice how she never speaks to a fellow no matter how hard he tries. She has absolutely no interest in other first-class men. Keep your damn pot.
Well, she has an open window on the promenade deck. Now, I passed there last night, and I swear I heard talk. I'm out.
What'd you hear?
I swear I heard this man's voice, and then this woman's voice.
Mind you,
far too indelicate for me to repeat.
Repeat?
Yeah, come on.
I never repeat these words in dignified company.
Well, then you're perfectly at liberty round this table. So repeat.
I clearly heard the woman speak.
But what did she say?
She made kind of a foreign sound. You know, like farm words you hear. He sits at our table, so I should know her voice.
Then what did he say?
I cannot. Decency forbids me, sir.
Oh, T.H., it does no such thing.
I heard.
Then what did he say?
I heard him say, "Madam, will you stop that mad parrot squawking and put another cushion under your bottom?"
Wait, hey, that is the most vile stuff. This is a poker game, T.H. I don't believe a word of it. You heard no such damn thing. I think you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I am, really?
These damn lies and fantasy. You want to play cards or not? You got two pair to beat here.
Don't need to get so excited.
Well, it's damn lies, you know. It's all lies. We're respectable grown married men, sir.
Hey, oh, please.
Damn lies. I never heard such preposterous nonsense.
Well, you stop getting so righteous.
Righteous, my eye. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's mendacity.
Madame, you are watching the men play poker.
I'm watching my husband. That's my husband there, the palooka with the red face. He's getting so mad. He's shouting at T.H. Smith now. I don't know why. Maybe he's losing.
Your husband?
That's my husband, Earl Tinker. I'm Mrs. Tinker.
And who is this T.H. Smith?
The round, fat one with the cigar. That's T.H. Smith. He's president of the GL&W. You must have heard of the GL&W.
I don't think so.
There is nothing bigger than the GL&W, I promise you. T.H. Smith is the man my husband is shouting at. The trouble with T.H. is that he's always shooting a line about something.
Yeah. What were you doing? Look at H. Never have I heard such filthy nonsense.
You love filthy nonsense.
Yeah, truthful filthy nonsense, yeah, but not this kind of sheer dirt. Listen, I like you, gents. I really do, but this is no damn way to play poker. And the hell with you and your bogus lying dog fantasies about some woman because she's from foreign parts or something. But not one of you has exchanged two words with her. Shame on you. Damn it, shame.
Earl, will you stop shouting?
So if you will excuse me, gents, deal me out. I'm playing no more cards.
Oh. You've done now, P.H.
Now just look at my husband. All red and ranting. He's walked away from the table. He's had some raging quarrel with T.H. Smith. Now, dear, and who are you then?
I'm Madame Saint-Denis de Montmoreau.
Let me tell you, I'm from Illinois and I can't possibly call you that.
Aurélie, then.
Okay, Aurélie. And everybody calls me honey.
The men who play poker with your husband, you know them?
I don't know them, but I can tell you who they are. Just business acquaintances.
Oh, really?
Well, yes. The tall one is Charlie Waxtell of Mutual Protective Trust. You've heard of Mutual Protective Trust?
No. And your husband is Earl Tinker?
He's the tall lug shouting at everyone. Yes. Earl is chairman of the Illinois Union Paper Company. Newspaper print to lavatory paper, if you'll pardon the expression. He sells any kind of paper you want.
All married?
Oh, very married. I mean, nobody is more married than my husband, Earl. And I do know the reputation of Mr. T.H. Smith. He has a name for uncouth stories. No doubt, that is just what he and Earl have been scrapping over. If there's one thing my husband cannot abide, it is uncouth stories. And believe me, that T.H. is notorious for bad-mouthing women. My husband Earl would not lay eyes on another woman, let alone hear one word of bad mouth. And now, what do you do, Orly?
Oh, I'm such a sad story. It's just not worth me starting.
You a widow?
Alas, yes.
Returning to Europe?
My beloved Paris.
And you're still interested in men? My me. I gave them up the moment my daughter Libby was born.
How can you know men still interest me?
Still young and so pretty. My dear.
Well, If you'll excuse me, I must change for supper.
Damn.
May I play the cards with you?
No.
Explain, please.
I don't like you.
Have I offended you in some way?
No, but that isn't very important. I don't like people.
Well, what must I do to do the cards with you?
You have to be a slave.
I am bread person.
It's got nothing to do with it.
Well, you're older than me, aren't you?
I hope so.
What have you got against me?
I don't like the brightly colored clothes you wear. I think you've let your hair grow in an unmanly style. You look like a Chiricahua Indian. You don't wear proper shoes. You wear kind of Aladdin-a-lamp pumps with curly toes. And you've got a ring in your ear, for God's sake. What's that for?
My mother is French, but she has family in Algiers. She likes to dress me in North African style.
Your mother is that French lady who walks around with her nose in the air.
You're a rude person.
I kick folk under the table. I bite. And sometimes I feel the need to punch people in the throat. But I never harm slaves.
Oh, suddenly I have overwhelming urge to become a complete slave.
Very wise decision.
I am Yassin Momoro.
Olivia Tinker from Illinois.
I am slave.
You throw first.
Early call for dinner tonight. Early call. Captain will make his welcome speech. Thank you.
Oh, Stuart, I don't know what's happened to my cabin key. I'd like a spare one, just as soon as you can, please.
Certainly, madame. Early call for dinner tonight. Early call.
Wow. Will you look at this on the dining room chart?
Yeah, what is it, T.H.?
Well, somebody's changed the dining tables around. Suddenly the French madame and her teenage son aren't on my table. She's been moved to the center of the room. I have a George Macklin sat beside me.
Oh, yes.
Who's George Macklin?
Well, I believe he is a poet with a large private income.
Poet with a large income is a contradiction in terms, Doc. Is he a poker player?
A poet who plays poker may also be a problem, George.
Like a gentle piece of leather.
Excuse me?
The calm sea out there.
You startled me.
You didn't see me standing here.
No, I didn't.
And just waiting there, saying nothing.
I really don't follow you, ma'am.
Is there some strange pleasure you get from standing on my shadow when my back is turned away?
No.
You'd rather speak to me.
Yes, ma'am.
But something holds you back.
I was hoping you hadn't noticed.
Oh, but I had. Each time.
I apologize.
Well, then, I am Aurélie.
Lawrence Ogle, ma'am. I am a playwright.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Ma'am, if you'll excuse me.
Well, don't run off.
I think the movement of the ship has done something to my...
And I had no control, you know? She was right. It was a perfectly calm sea. Some folk get sick in raging storms. Maybe all I need is a perfectly calm sea to get me going.
Oh, man.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Is there a problem here?
Oh, no, no. The young gentleman here has returned his breakfast to the ocean.
My name is Waxel. Charlie Waxel, in short.
Oh, Mr. Waxel.
I'm T.H. Smith, G.L. and all.
Mr. Smith.
Yes, ma'am. Doc Taylor, National Medicine Company.
Doctor?
Yeah, we wondered, ma'am, if you'd consider joining us for the morning coits on top deck.
Oh, well, thank you so much, monsieur, but excuse me. Outdoor sports events are beyond me.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, let's take ourselves to the card saloon and try out a little blackjack.
Yeah, we should do that. Oh,
you're very kind, but I'm not against a little round of patience in the card saloon, but, oh, I cannot play blackjack.
Oh, well, I can teach you.
Thank you so much.
What are you reading?
Poetry.
Whatever for?
I write it.
After having to study it at college, nobody actually wants to write it.
I've written 2 thin books and won a small prize.
I thought you were interesting.
So did I.
But you aren't. I suppose you only want to talk to me because my father is Earl Tinker from Illinois. Well, hard bucks. What table are you at?
T.H. Smith and Charlie Waxtel.
Well, don't tell T.H. you're a poet, or he'll have you moved. If you were at our table, I'd have you moved. Your poems rhyme. Well, they ought not to. Nobody's rhyme these days. It's all dashes and dots.
Look, I don't want to meet your father, and I certainly didn't invite you to whack me off about my art. You're quite a nasty girl, young lady.
I'm glad we know where we stand.
Those friends of yours asked me to play cards with them this morning.
Well, they'd prefer to be here in your cabin.
I was watching you play blackjack with them the other day.
Yeah?
Never seen you lose.
Well, sir, I play to win.
You played 20-card blackjack.
I don't know what you mean.
You remember the high cards. You never play on the low numbers.
Is that so?
It raises your luck against the dealer by 40%.
Ah, what else you notice?
You never draw on anything above 13. That gives you an extra 15% against the dealer.
So then, what are the odds when I sit down to play?
You have a 55% chance against the dealer of
45. Well, I swear, I never knew.
I knew.
Orlie.
The moment I saw you play, I said, you have instinct. Oh, alas, this is something I cannot afford.
No, look. Are we going to screw around on the bed, or are we going to admire my cards?
Monsieur Tinker.
Don't you think you could call me Earl now that we've gotten to know one another?
Oh, I couldn't possibly call you Earl. You're a married man.
Well, can I call you Aurelie?
I much prefer to be formal.
You know, you French ladies just beat the hell out of me. I'm putting cushions under your posterior. I'm stoking the fires of desire. And all I'm allowed to do is call you Madame de Mummero? That's hard on a guy from Illinois.
My friend, cards are so much more complicated.
George! What are you staring at?
The French beauty who caused you to puke your guts out this morning.
I think that's an exaggeration.
I see a kind of Hellenic stillness. The way her hair glints with a metallic hue. Her smooth shoulders opaque with silver and pearl lacework. Her neck is poised like a heron waiting to dive for a deathly strike at a small fish. I see her as the Nike of Samothrace. Who's the wilting drip with the mad turban clinging onto her?
Her son.
Well, he can't decide if he's Sinbad or an ice cream sundae. You were sick with love this morning, weren't you?
I was not.
I don't blame you.
I'd rather you found someone else.
Like who?
Well, there's the daughter of the Tinker family. They're on my table.
Her?
Nice girl. Good table manners.
She is a barrel of poison. She hates everyone.
Really? Don't think I noticed. And she and her family share my table.
The question is, who shares table with the Hellenic beauty?
Rough seas, Madame de Mummero.
Good evening. Shall we order?
Oh, well, you know, I was just about to call our waiter over. And my mind was distracted. I was looking around for my friend, Earl Tinker. You know Earl from Illinois?
Perhaps, en passant.
Well, Earl just loves a plateful of supper. And you know, I don't think he's at his table. I think the sea has gotten to him.
How interesting.
Oh, no. No. Earl's not interesting. Earl's a rough diamond. It's you, madam. You are interesting.
You know, my Earl is never ill. The constitution of an ox. But the moment he stepped on deck, he wobbled. He turned to me. And he said, honey, I ain't gonna eat my greens tonight. He always calls his supper his greens. It's way back from where he comes from. His daddy was a sharecropper. And
you don't want to hear about daddy's greens, do you?
Not exactly.
You want to hear about art and books and paintings. Because deep down, you're a snob.
Thank you very much.
Ow! You kicked me.
Think nothing of it.
You know, Olivia, I've heard so much about you. And almost everything is true.
Should I be flattered?
Ow! Don't do that.
Now that didn't hurt. I'm trying very hard not to maim you.
Try harder, will you, next time?
Ow!
Now, when my Earl decides to lie down, it is something very unusual. You go on ahead to the dining room, Earl said. I feel like a bear which has swallowed an alligator.
Forgive me for asking. Whenever my mother speaks, you look away across the room.
I intend no disrespect to your... I noticed a couple of people I know quite well. Suddenly they've left their table.
And you were looking at that table over there where the French madame sits.
I was not.
Everybody looks at her. She's mysterious. And when she's suddenly not there...
How do you know, anyway?
I watch you.
Let me tell you how my husband Earl made his first fortune.
Will you excuse me? I'm sorry.
My young friend, what a surprise. Yes? You just wanted to know if I was suddenly taken ill like the others on board. And you thought you'd at least show your concern?
Yes.
Thank you, indeed. But I'm just fine, a little tired. Anyway, I have my son, Hyacinthe, to keep me company, and he will see that I get a good sleep.
The last thing I wanted to do was disturb you.
Good night, Laurence.
Now, where do you think I'm going? Now that half the ship is queasy, I'm going to have a drink in the bar with that ice cream turban creature with the preposterous name. And I insist you join us.
I'll have a drink with you. But I assure you, the ice cream turban is down below in his mother's cabin.
Lawrence, are you up for a drink or not?
Why, yes.
Oh, there, you both are. What alcohol would you like to drink? Oh, I do not drink. I drink fruit cocktail. You like the double gin?
Hello, Miss Sand.
Oh, my God.
Good morning.
I tried, Lord knows I tried, but I could not stir your daddy this morning. He was a sack of snoring potatoes.
Charades on lower deck, hopscotch on middle deck, tombola in the smoking lounge, and a poet, Mr. Macklin, is reading his poems in the library.
I'll be sure to ask the steward to take in his breakfast. Earl never goes out of the house without...
I know which I'll choose.
Oh, which is that?
I'll do nothing.
It's a little indolent.
It's better than chasing my father around the ship with breakfast trays.
Libby, don't talk like that.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Would my little French lady like to do something silly on the below deck? Like hopscotch?
Hopscotch is not a priority on my morning walk around the ship.
I'm just kidding. You know, I ask myself why you hit on me rather than the good old boys. I mean, there's Charlie Waxstall and T.H., and they're so flush with money.
They're all married.
So am I.
True, but you're the least married person on board. You're a free spirit.
I am.
Not bound by earth.
Well, I never heard it described like that.
Beneath all this shout and bluster you do, there is a fine thing. We are kindred beings.
If you say so. But, you know, we don't look as if we're cut out to be. I mean, look at me. You can hear me holler and hoot all the way from Illinois. Well, you are the elegant French Madame de Whatnot, and everybody scrapes and curtsies to you. I mean, if folks saw us out and about, they wouldn't suspect a thing.
And that is how it should be.
How so?
Oh, we understand each other.
Maybe.
Beneath the skin, you tremble. You do not have the millions you pretend. You dare not drop the disguise. You fill your hours with nefarious love affairs. And your wife knows nothing.
Mrs. Tinker must never know anything about what we do. Mrs. Tinker is my anchor in a storm-racked world. And anyway, are you better than me?
Oh, I'm just a poor French widow. I have my son to educate. I want love from the strongest man I can find.
Yeah, you want something, all right. But I'm not sure you've let me in on the deal.
My love, there are cushions over there on the settee. Bring them over here. We will be so much more comfortable.
My next poem is called The Sea. It is set in the Imagist vein.
Oh, my God.
The pavilion of waves. The embarkation of gulls. The accumulation of clouds. The consideration of dolphins.
Consideration of dolphins?
Nike,
you look uneasy,
ocean,
T.H. I'm worried about the business of writing poetry. I'm thinking of an insurance contract. Now, I'd insure a poet against losing his rhyming couplets, but never take him on for this modernist stuff.
Shadows on the porpoise. The incitement of the horizon, the bicycling of the moon.
You can't broker stuff which doesn't rhyme.
If Mr. T.H. Smith doesn't mind, I haven't finished reading this particular poem.
Sorry.
Flowers of Sinbad sew pearls on her seabed. Cushions of seaweed, shoes of coral.
Jewel
in her chest.
You stand so close behind me, you're almost on top of my shadow.
I'm so sorry. I...
Do you think I don't notice you there?
I'm ashamed.
Oh, but why?
I cannot express my feelings.
Oh, but you are the playwright, no? And you have this successful play on Broadway?
That doesn't unlock my tongue.
Young man.
Please don't patronize...
What is it you want?
It doesn't matter where you are in a room. I'm constantly turning to look at you.
Yes, I know.
How?
I can feel your gaze. It touches my neck and my arms.
But you never look up.
Oh, dear young man, what is there between us? Some 20 years or so? Think.
And then last night, I thought I saw you with that Earl Tinker. You were stood for a moment in the darkness. Then some small light flared, and I saw your face light up.
Good heavens. The gentleman borrowed a pack of matches to light a cigar. I wasn't talking to him.
Oh, I'm very relieved. You see, I know him. He's a barbarian. He's of a kind of uncouthness I cannot associate with you.
And you were jealous of what you call a barbarian?
I could not believe you had anything in common with such a gross type of American.
You are absolutely right.
So,
I should spend all my time with you discussing plays and theater?
I am in love with you. It is like a death. I feel I am drowning here.
Laurence, please don't start dying for love. There are so many more important things to do. And on board ship, when we're all thrown together, mad moments occur, but...
Sometimes, when I look at you in a room, you change color. Oh, you don't look at me, but a redness spreads across your neck.
You learn one day that is not a sign of an older woman blushing.
What, then, is it?
I think you've said enough for today, Monsieur Laurence.
The wind has picked up. Let's sit side by side on the long chairs. We'll cover ourselves with the rugs. I will just share the air with you, and I promise not to open my mouth once.
I will keep you to that.
Swanee, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. The folk of North will see me no more. When I get to that Swanee shore.
What's going on?
My father drank a bottle of brandy and climbed on the piano. He sang every song he knew, and then he fell off the piano. Doc Taylor is trying to revive him.
Better get him down to his cabin.
I will not.
But Olivia...
That's Mother's job. I won't touch him.
Oh, okay, Earl. Come on. Wake up. Wake up, Earl.
Just get off.
Will you wake up?
Will you get me out of here? Keep out the darkness. Where's the door to the bank? Damn piano. I put the piano on my tab. When I became chairman of the Illinois Paper Company and Associated Products, I realized what a mud I'd been. When you reach the top of the pile, it's the view that counts. You can buy the pyramids and Westminster Bridges for sale. And as for the Eiffel Tower...
No.
I saw a poster once which said, Unknown Banker Buys the Atlantic.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
What's so funny about that? No. It's better than the dark. Get the dark out of here.
Harold,
stop the dark!
I've got to do something. He'll throw himself over.
What are you going to do?
I'll get Mrs. Tinker.
So dark. God, light it up. The dark's the very devil.
Mrs. Tinker, wake up, ma'am, please. Your husband's gone berserk.
Gone berserk? Sir, my husband has been berserk most of his life.
I'll try to find him.
Mr. Tinker!
Salt. Oh, sorry.
The boat is sinking. There is a disaster and the ship is on flames.
What are you doing out this late?
Oh, I sneaked down to second-class people and do the jig with them. Oh,
have you seen Mr. Tinker? You know, the big Mr. Tinker.
No, never. I never see Mr. Tinker. I always take the loop the other way.
Why, please? Never mind. Excuse me.
Mr. Tinker! Where are you? Are you all right? Mr. Tinker! Oh. Where are you? Mr. Tinker! Earl! Earl!
Good heavens, Laurence, are you all right?
Yes, of course.
Something is wrong?
No, honestly. I often stand outside your cabin door like this after a good sprint right round the ship.
Laurence.
I was looking for someone. I thought he was about to do himself some harm, throw himself overboard or something silly like that.
Who?
Mr. Tinker. You know, the barbarian.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure his wife's found him by now.
Yeah, I heard some shouting, but I was so busy working with my son Yacinthe over his lessons. It didn't occur to me.
Yacinthe?
Yes, he's in here with me now. We work together on his basic English.
He's in there with you now?
Oh, yes. That is why you'll forgive me for not asking you in. It's so important we get on with our studies. Don't you agree?
Of course.
Well, good night, young friend.
Night.
Earl Tinker, where are you? You come out right now and stop hiding. Mrs. Honeykins here, and I know just how to get you well again. Earl? Where are you, Earl? This is Honeykins. Earl?
The sea is magnificent.
Good morning.
Uninsurable, but magnificent.
Are you quite sure there isn't a contract you can work the sea into, Mr. Smith?
The sea is a pavilion of waves.
Well, I didn't know you could be so poetic.
Well, I may surprise you. I feel we shall soon be seeing a consideration of dolphins out there.
Oh, and such a poet.
Well, I do have the occasional urge, you know, but a business always intrudes.
And possibly with a little bit of help from Monsieur Georges Maclean's muse.
Oh, I see. You found me out.
I think I have, Monsieur Smith.
Oh, call me T.H.
Oh, no, Monsieur. I couldn't possibly get so intimate.
Well, I hear a little different from my neck of the woods. I hear you're not averse to a little intimacy with the right fellow.
I don't think I understand you.
Well, the first night on board, I passed your cabin window, and I swore I overheard a few inappropriate thoughts about where to place cushions.
Monsieur Smith, what would it do to your lady wife if I suddenly tore my dress and screamed and pointed my finger at you and the stewards came running up?
Hmm? Excuse me, I...
Yes.
I'm going to share your rug with you for a moment. Oh, Lawrence, I want to apologize to you.
Good morning.
Last night, I told you a lie. I told you I was with my son. Since then, I've spoken to Yacinthe, and he tells me you met him in the corridor. Well, you see, I'm so taken with you, Laurence. I must hold on to my own emotions.
There was somebody else in your cabin?
Oh, I swear, there was not. But I can't just ask you in my cabin at midnight. It is unseemly. I'm a woman. And, well, I am afraid...
Of me?
Yes. I was once engaged to a French officer. Oh, we were so young. He was like you, and I fell too hard. His family disapproved of me. I've always regretted letting him go. Sometimes I know you're near me. What is it you do? Stand in my shadow? And you know, my young friend, my heart smiles. Oh, of course, I won't show you this emotion, but it is there. So, whatever you thought I was hiding...
You mean there is hope?
Let us be sensible first. I think you should accompany me, or in an appropriate manner, and you will charm me. And when we get to Algiers, I can show you places you haven't imagined. The drive up to the mountains, the wadi where the earth stops, and the great desert of the Sahara begins. Well, isn't that enough for the time being, my young friend?
Enough. Thank you.
And anyway, you are an upright young man, almost an American Puritan. You have a certain formality. You're not going to shove me against a wall and do foul things to me.
Certainly not.
Well, let us have an understanding. Let us grasp the moment day by day. If there is love, well then, why should we ignore it? If it is just a passing infatuation, we will both tire of it quickly. You know, I'm old enough to be your mother. But I've always said, steal the day now. I have always believed everything is life, and nothing is death.
Of course I accept. I have no choice.
Oh, what an ungrateful child you are. Ah, Laurence. There was nobody else in my cabin last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, as your captain, I want to welcome you all to our first sight of land as we pass the Azores on our starboard side. There will be a fancy dress dance the night before we pass through the Straits of Gibraltar. And your stewards have collected a variety of disguises from our ship's locker. A number of eminent guests on board have already chosen their disguises. Mr. Lawrence Ogle has accepted a Japanese war mask, and Mr. T.H. Smith has agreed to be the front half of a donkey, and Mr. Earl Tinker, the man in the iron mask. Everyone will be offered a selection of outfits from Sinbad the Sailor to Little Miss Muffet. And on behalf of the crew, a continuing happy voyage to one and all.
On that course, my Algerian blood, I would ordain to be Sinbad.
Oh, really? I thought you'd go for Little Miss Muffet.
Excuse?
Anyway, I've got my eye on the Medusa wig. There's something rewarding about being Medusa for a night.
You know, I see myself as Joan of Arc. How about you, Mr. Macklin?
Well, I'm quite interested in the back half of the donkey. I think I can do quite a bit of damage from the rear, and without any insurance whatsoever.
Yeah. When I was a boy, I made my first pile of dough with a rabbit. I told a boy that he could share my rabbit if he paid half what the rabbit cost. And then I told eight other boys the same thing. Well, later, when they came round, I told them that the rabbit had passed away, and their money helped pay the funeral. And then I moved into guinea pigs.
A complete lie.
No, word of honor.
Yacinthe, how are your lessons coming along?
What lessons?
What schoolwork you're preparing?
All the time you spend with your mother.
She say that? Well, yes.
Well, then, that's what I do.
You don't sound exactly convinced.
I explain. You see, if my mother says that, then it is true. Everything she says is true at some time or another. You understand, please?
Ah, I think I do.
When I was 15, my family's estates were confiscated. We were bankrupt. I was forced to marry a sexual pervert. He was a Russian colonel in the Tsar's cavalry. My mother took in washing and sewing to make ends meet. Because he received no dowry, my husband made me agree to certain sordid acts in a bedroom. One night I escaped from the house and stayed with gypsies.
I don't believe a word of it.
All right. I was kidnapped by a Turkish circus when I was 12. In exchange for certain favors, an ugly old woman taught me the skills of the trapeze, and to pay for my keep...
Well, that's even less believable.
Oh, listen, it is very difficult to get you to understand where I come from. There was the drunken Mississippi son of a great mansion. One night, he took off with all my possessions, my son's heirlooms, and he didn't own the mansion house. It was all a plot to get me into his bed. Then the real owners walked in, and I was arrested and thrown into jail.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, Monsieur Tinker, any one of those events could have occurred. Indeed, they have occurred. Well, not necessarily in that order or to me, but certainly to my friends.
You have so many stories, you probably can't remember the real one.
All you need to know is that I have suffered great poverty, misery, and humiliation. And I am determined not to visit all that on my son.
He's an unusual-looking boy.
Oh, he has desert blood in him. I was on a camel train in the Sahara, and a horde of Arab princes descended on the wadi, where we had stopped for water.
Oh, stop right there. Thank you.
Yes, I forgot. You do not like my stories.
May I be so bold as to ask what you see in me?
If you move a little closer, I will tell you, Monsieur Tinker from Illinois.
I hate to interrupt you, gents, but have you seen my husband, Mr. Earl Tinker, Mr. Ogle?
No.
Mr. Macklin, the fine poet, sir?
No, ma'am.
Well, I am cross. I have the steward prepare a lukewarm bath of carbonate of ammonia. Mr. Tinker has a very irritable bowel, and suddenly he's vanished again. If he's gone down to the steward's room, no doubt he's cleaning them out of their pennies with his poker play. And it just ain't right, I say. It just ain't right.
I wonder if you've noticed a strange thing on board.
What's that, George?
Whenever I am at dinner, or when we have all moved to the lounge for brandies, I always look for that Tinker man and your French lady madame friend. And invariably, I see one. But I never ever see them both in a room at the same time. Is there some kind of mutual antipathy I know nothing about? Can they not stand to be in the same place together?
Never noticed.
But she must have said something about it.
To me?
Why not? You've become inseparable these past few days. On top deck, in the bar.
I assure you, it is not what you think it is.
Oh, go on then. Surprise me.
We are worlds apart. I'm sorry to say.
She's stringing you along?
That's a very ugly interpretation. So I went to my muster station to meet Madame Momereau. She was late.
Why are you late?
But I'm always late.
Do you know how long I've been waiting?
Well, my dear, the clock isn't the only way to keep time. Sometimes other moments become more pressing.
I'm very jealous of those moments.
Well, anyway, here I am. And I'm yours for the afternoon. We'll go everywhere together. We'll be seen by everyone. And people will wonder, what on earth have they got so much to talk about?
Forgive me.
Darling boy.
I just so desperately wish it was more.
Isn't it enough to know that I spend more time with you than with any other soul on board, with the exception of my son?
You know what I mean.
What would you have for one night in my arms? A glimpse of a woman's body now turning to dust. See all the fractures and sags where nature does her worst. Oh, I assure you, you are much better off looking at those agonizing corsets and stays. At least they give you an illusion of what was.
Everything you say, I revolt against.
Oh, let me become young again beside you. Let me pretend I have that perfect skin again with not a mark. And I do not have to wear gloves to hide the brown spots. Or worry myself, oh, yes, I'm meeting my young playwright. Where do I keep the wrinkle cream? When you take my hand, I hold on to it and feel the strong skin. And I like to believe it is mine.
Shall we promenade with the others, madame?
Oh, why not, monsieur?
I'm so worried about your daddy. After he fell off the piano singing, after he drunk all that brandy and sang, you know, his throat has turned bright red.
I've never looked.
Well, I'm putting him to bed early. I'm giving him syrup and expectorant of colt's foot for his throat.
God's sake, Mama, he's a grown man. He can drink and sing if he wants.
Then if I had a sniff of belladonna, I'd also add that to his syrup. Not too much belladonna.
If I were you, I'd pour a whole damn bottle of it down his neck.
Lippy!
I hate the way you nurse him back to you. Where is my husband, Earl? Have you seen Earl? And this for his feet, and that for his nerves, and this for his throat. Mama, he comes back to you when there's nowhere else for him to stay out. Don't you know that?
He's my Earl.
And you fuss and you mollycoddle.
Your daddy, too.
One day you ought to just stop it. Let him know you won't be there when he crawls back in after his cards and his booze.
I couldn't do that to him.
You'd soon find out how much he cares for all that love you give him.
Stop that!
No.
You have respect for me.
No.
Then I'll hit you. I don't mean to hit you, but I'll surely hit you.
I won't stop.
What have you got to say now?
I'd like some of that love.
Monsieur Tinker?
Over here.
Oh, it is so dark. I almost lost my way.
I asked you to meet me here because, things were on my mind.
What is it you cannot say to me in my own cabin?
I feel concerned about the presence of that young New Yorker, the writer man.
But why?
Well, everybody says he sees you together and you are never apart.
Oh, he's just a boy.
He is not.
He has a certain fixation for me, but I laugh at him and then we talk about Broadway.
Are you doing things with him?
I don't understand.
Are you doing things with him with cushions?
Monsieur Tinker, how could you think such a thing?
Well, he's young and sassy and full of beans.
He's an artist who thinks only about words.
Now, I know about that type. That's just a smokescreen, madam.
Have you thought what a good smokescreen this young man is for us?
No.
Well, then.
Sometimes, madame, a man needs reassurance.
And how can I give you that?
Well, for example, that is why I brought you down here. No one can see us. It's as private as your own cabin.
But people can walk by. Suppose the boiler man walks by.
Well, maybe that adds a touch of spice, like a kind of risk. You like your risk, madame. Don't kid me.
What risk?
Do it now.
I am shocked.
Right here, right up against the wall.
Oh, Monsieur Tinker.
You go for me instead of that phony young scribbler. You prove to me that you'd do it anywhere.
Oh, against the wall where the boiler man walks by?
To hell with the boiler man.
Oh, Monsieur Tinker, a lady does not do it against the wall.
Madame, if you don't do it right now, I will remain suspicious of you and that young fella. That is my last word.
Oh, but I have a floor-length skirt.
Fine.
And I have a long undergarment beneath the skirt.
Oh, pleased to hear it.
And I wear camisole knickers, which are also long and tied with pink satin bows at my knees.
Mm, that sounds highly delightful.
Oh, monsieur. Monsieur, please.
Yeah?
Oh, I am near to faint with dismay.
You are?
Oh, so, Monsieur Tinker, which side of the corridor would Monsieur the Boilerman like me to arrange myself against?
That is the fourth dance you've had with that smelly French woman.
That is her perfume, Olivia.
It smells like goat's cheese.
It comes from Paris, Olivia.
I don't care.
Madame de Montmorot says I'm a very fine dancer.
Well, you are not. You look like a penguin out there.
Thank you very kindly.
What, with that Japanese war mask on your face, you look like a... I don't know what you look like, but it's awful.
One thing everyone on this ship can rely on is your encouraging voice.
And who does she think she is in that, with a snake around her neck?
She is Cleopatra, and that is her asp.
Monsieur the Samurai Warrior, will you dance again?
Enchanté, madame.
Well, I hope that asp stings her in the ass.
Would you please excuse me, Joan of Arc?
Is the man in the iron mask having trouble with his bronchitis, dear? Because I have to... Earl! Where are you going, Earl? Earl, come back! Earl, come back!
Young man?
Yep?
I'm having terrible head pains in this damn mask.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Would you mind if I told you that you have a much smaller head than mine?
No.
I would be seriously obliged if...
If you would swap your mask with mine. You know, we're wearing identical penguin suits. That might be quite amusing.
Why not?
Shake on it.
Just one dance, Monsieur Tinker. I know what a terrible dancer you are.
Right?
I have no doubt you're the clumsiest dancer I've ever met.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, now you put one foot there. No, not on my toe.
Beg pardon, ma'am.
And you lead with this arm. Dongo, come with me.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, monsieur, I think you look very dashing as the man in the iron mask.
Thank you.
And I take back everything I said about your dancing. In fact, it is much improved.
Really?
Do you realize we're just one night and one day from Algiers, my Algiers, where Hyacinthe was born? I don't expect you to believe me, but did you know that my husband was second secretary in the Algerian consulate? Oh, yes, he came from one of the oldest families in the city. Oh, how I loved him. But of course that's not what you want to hear, is it? Mm. And sadly, he deserted me. I was alone in a strange North African city with a young child. Oh, but what is the use of telling you that? To you, it's just another fable, I suppose. I come back to Algiers with a torn heart. I was happy there once, and I was more unhappy there than I ever believed possible. Could you understand that, monsieur? No, I don't think so. The American in you has so little time for that deep ache, wanting to go back, but hating to go back at the same time. Oh, and the places beyond the city limits, where you no longer smell the sea and the oil from the port. To avoid the stifling heat, we used to take the old Roman road south of Algiers. It rises up into the mountains, and we stayed in the ancient fort of Siti Ogba. The terrace was lined with palm trees, and we plucked figs from our windowsill. Then we'd go on into the wilderness, just like the Romans. The Romans heard the muezzin call to the faithful 5 times a day from the minaret. And though they turned and marched towards the Sahara, they did not bother to extend their wonderful road, as if they knew in their hearts the desert was too vast, even for Caesar. There is a wadi at Alcantara, and that is where the Romans halted, where my husband and I stopped. Camels drink at one pool, humans at another. There are only small mud huts. At night, to keep cool, you leave the doors wide open in the hope of whatever breeze you can find. And in the morning, in front of you, is the great Sahara. Each wave of sand alters its shape overnight. You see, the desert is never the same. And yet it is always the same. That is where the Romans halted in dismay. And I and my husband had our final farewell. There was nowhere further to go. Goodness me, monsieur, and you still sit there in that iron mask. Take it off at once. You must be boiled.
Madame, I ask you not to be shocked, but...
It's me, Lawrence.
Oh,
Mr. Tinker was in pain from this mask, and he asked me to exchange with him. Please forgive me if I've offended you.
Oh, no, no!
The Plutocrat was based on the novel by Booth Tarkington, adapted for radio by Michael Hastings. Here is the cast. Lawrence Ogle was played by Alan Cox. Aurélie de Momoro, Leslie Caron. Hyacinthe, her son, François Xavier Noah. Earl Tinker, Stacy Keach. Honey, his wife, Elizabeth McGovern. Olivia, their daughter, Rachel Pickup. George Macklin, Jasper Britton. T.H. Smith, Oliver Cotton. Charlie Waxtell, David Collings. Doc Taylor, James Ellis.